Hallelujah. What a beautiful morning already, huh? I know that each of our lives is designed for a breath of God, a certain spiritual component to go into us just to sustain us. The presence of the Lord. You can't really live by the breath of another person, but you can live by the breath of God. And we're going to be in we just finished a series called Living in the Light of Eternity. And we're really excited about, I'm hearing some wonderful reports about all of you who are reading the book, All Things New by John Eldridge. Incredible. I've even heard of some sitting there reading and just crying because of the hope that's being pumped into your hearts. So I'm very grateful. Now the message series we're starting today is called Victory in Warfare. Everybody say, Victory in Warfare. And today's message is, the weapons of our warfare. Would you say that with me? The weapons of our warfare. Now I'm giving you some notes, and there's going to be some scriptures on the back of those notes. And I want us to look at a little bit of this. It says the weapons. This is 2 Corinthians 10, 4 and 5. The weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but they have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God and take every thought captive to obey Christ. And then there's a big long passage there, and just go ahead and look at that one and I'll read it. It's on the back of your paper there, Ephesians 6. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, and against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. And then one more scripture, and then we'll get into some stories here. Revelation chapter 12, verse 11, and they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, for they love not their lives, even unto death. Before we get to any fill in the blanks, I just want to tell you that spiritual warfare is real. It's very real. I remember when Heather and I were, and I think Emmy was in the back seat, and was driving from North Carolina over to, we were finished being at Camp Courtney, and we're driving somewhere to Tennessee for some reason. And Heather was asleep, Emmy was asleep, and I'm driving along. And suddenly, I crossed this state line, and I don't know if it was a principality in the territory. I don't know if what it was, but here's what happened. Suddenly, an onslaught of perversion very aggressively came against my mind. Just was coming against my mind, and I started pleading the blood of Jesus. I was pleading, and this thing just warred against me, warred against me, warred against me, warred against me. And I was so distraught after about a half an hour of this. It's like, what the heck? And I was tired, and I was driving, but this thing, I was pleading the blood, and it was just, it felt slimy, it was graphic, and it made me feel so uncomfortable. And how many of you know, even in your uncomfortableness, there's something of your own flesh neighbor that's fallen, that has an appeal until you're changed on the inside. So I know warfare is real. In fact, later on, I got on the phone with a person and asked them all about, I told them all about it, and they said, let me help you with a prayer strategy. And we're going to talk about that later. So when you have a harassing thoughts come into your mind. I had another time where there was a, when I first came to town, there was a pastor that's, you know, I was just new at this. I never pastored before. I didn't understand a lot of things. And there was a fella that kept saying these things to me. He says, well, you know, maybe the Lord didn't bring you here to pastor church. Maybe he brought you here to be the worship leader of my church. And there was just enough of vulnerability within me that started to bother me. It began to become more of a power in my mind. It was a warfare beginning to diminish my sense of calling for what God had said to me. And I was in their other building, and some of you have told this story before, but I was out. We had this little funny little dachshund, a little short-haired dachshund, little miniature dachshund named Julie. And Julie would poop. You know, that's what dogs do. And I'm out there picking up the poop. And as I'm picking up the poop, the Lord speaks to me. He said, Roger, look up. And now when I looked up, this man, this pastor was there. He was there up between, you know, he says, now Roger, that's not him. That's an imagination of him. And I want you to cast that down. Wow. And then he said these words, because in the future, if something goes wrong in his ministry, and he phrased it this way, he says, you may be the only person that he can call upon. And you know what? Later on, something went wrong in his ministry, and I got a phone call. I cast down that high thing, as it says in this verse, the first passage we read in 2 Corinthians 10, I cast that down. The Lord said, that's not him. That's an imagination of him. Everybody say, that's not him. There are things in your mind and that's not them. It's not them. It's not her. It's not him. It's an imagination and the devil is behind it. And you can cast it down because you have authority in Jesus Christ to bring things that get between you and God out of the way. And this is the weapons of your warfare. Do you have a worry that's come up? Do you have a concern that's come up? Do you have a need that's come up? And it just keeps growing. It keeps getting... You can come and in the authority of Jesus' name, cast down that imagination. Overthrow that argument. There was another time that there was a person who meant me evil and became very embittered against me and made phone calls to everybody and was turning people's hearts against me through speaking evil. And I remember being in the warfare of that situation. And I'll never forget this. This was extremely graphic work of the devil. I was turning into the street where my home is, and the moment I turned that street, I saw a movie, a demonically inspired movie. And the movie was forcefully saying, take a picture of him and put it on a log and take an axe and release your rage and split his face in two. Wow. And you know what I said? I said, this is my reaction to the devil. You're trying to split my head open because that's witchcraft. You're trying to get me to destroy me. And then this is what I did because I knew this much. I had been taught that was imagination. And this is what I did. I bind you, devil, and I bless that man. I began speaking blessings. Because Jesus, very descriptively, said, bless those who curse you. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who spitefully use you. Pray for them. Pray blessing upon them. So I set my heart in agreement of speaking blessing. Now, let's go ahead and look at your notes there. Let's go to the very first. By the way, I have a picture here. Isn't that cool? This is about the armor of God we're going to be talking a little bit about. Let's go to the first fill in the blank. The only part of the Bible that benefits you is the part that you believe and use. The only part of the Bible that benefits you is the part that you believe and use. You're not going to benefit from any portion of Scripture that you do not believe and that you do not use. And I want to go ahead and tell you that every victory you will ever obtain is through applying the accomplished work of Jesus. It's not you coming up with something new. It's you praising him for what he has already done. It's for you applying the truth of what he has given. All Scripture, 2 Timothy 3:16, 17, all Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Now, what this series is going to be like, I think, it could be like this. How many of you have ever been in the military or know people in the military? Okay, you know what they do? When you first sign up, you go to a thing called boot camp. And boot camp is about physical conditioning, and then it's about training. And training in how to use weapons. They don't just say, here's a grenade, good luck. Try to figure out how to use that on your own time. I know a young man, married my brother's daughter, and he ended up being a sniper. And he told me he could rattle off when they learn a weapon, they can say everything about the weapon and how it shoots and everything. Like they rattle it off really fast. It's about 4 or 5 sentences. This is a automatically in the they have all this knowledge about what that weapon is and what it does, and then they know how to use it and they're trained how to use it. Isn't that right? So you have to know your weaponry. And I believe that when we come into the Lord, when Paul says, I want you to share in the sufferings of Christ as a good soldier, there's this hardness of life that can happen. How many of you have stepped into situations and not realized that you're suddenly tempted to be extremely mad at somebody? Would you consider that a warfare, a booby trap, some kind of a thing you stepped into and bam, it's like, you got to get over it. First the natural, then the spiritual. We do react, don't we? Maybe a little, and the Bible even says, don't let the sun go down on your anger. If you have anger, well up. He says you got about 12 hours left. But pray and get rid of that, because if you don't, a little foothold begins to develop, and foothold can turn into a stronghold. And a stronghold is basically this: it's a house full of arguments that you're captive in. Have you ever had anybody that struggled with any kind of addiction, or any kind of a sexual problem, or just any kind of powerful bitterness, sense of shame about something. If you've done something and you just feel like you hate yourself for having done it, that develops into a house of thoughts that hold people captive. And there's arguments in that. Who do you think you are? Very belittling thoughts. The Bible says that Satan is the accuser of the brethren. But I also want to point out that even though he's the father of all lies, he's the father of all lies. Jesus said, Satan is the father of all lies. The devil is the father of all lies. And he speaks out of his own character. But this is what Revelation 20, verse 10 says. And the devil who had deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and sulfur, where the beast and the false prophet were. And they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. I'm just going to sit there and gloat. Everything you tried to do to me, everything. See, the devil wants to, hell was created for the devil and his angels. And he wants you to go there. He wants to take you there. And there are strongholds even in our culture. And any place that they've kicked God out and they've embraced, say, secular humanism or some kind of an ism other than the Lord Jesus Christ, that place is a stronghold. Our public school system, for having rejected prayer, rejected the Word of God, that's now a stronghold. You don't come to know Jesus in that environment. You come to know Jesus where he's worshiped and glorified and honored. So there's certain systems in place in our culture, and it breeds a place where people cannot see because their eye, the veil is over their eyes, and they're blinded from seeing the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. And we pray for people, and then they begin to see. Somebody begins to go through some kind of a pain in their life, and they say, I need something more than what I got. They begin to move toward, and the Lord leads them to people, and people begin to talk to them about the Lord. You know the process. And when somebody begins to learn more about the Lord, they end up in a place maybe like this where Jesus is exalted. The next thing you know, there's prayer, and there begins to be breakthroughs in their life, and things begin to change, all because hell is being turned from. The devil doesn't say, you're worthless. You know how he does it? He says this, I'm worthless. He says, I'm worthless, and you hear the thoughts, I'm worthless. I should be ashamed of myself. I should be ashamed of myself. I will never get over that. I will never get over that. Why did they do that to me? Why did they do that to me? And then we start turning to the Lord. Why did I do that to myself? Wait a minute, whose voice is that? Lord Jesus, help me. I should be ashamed. I'm not ashamed of myself. And you begin to discern. Wait a minute, this voice is not my voice. And there are voices of the adversary that speak on the inside of your mind. And until they're told to leave, they will still be in on the inside. When you open up a certain area of your soul to a certain... Listen, let me go ahead and repeat this with me. There are no strong demons. There are only weak wills. If somebody has a certain area of their life and they just feel overwhelmed by it all the time over them and somebody else doesn't, it's because the person has given over to that. If you're tempted in a certain manner... And I may not be tempted in that manner. That doesn't bother me. Why? It's not that the devil's more powerful to you. It's that your will is weaker in a certain place. Is that me? And here's the big deal. This is the wonderful part of it. Come and receive Jesus Christ and let him begin to make you into his likeness. And then you become help to people. Become like him. He begins to put his abilities, his nature into you, and you become more than you could be, and then you become full of his spirit and full of his love, and you receive these things. Now, I want to say it took some time to get rid of a lot of the thinking. How many of you have seasons of what they call stinking thinking? How many of you have reassaulted by those? There's certain things that come back into your you think you've been fine with it for a while, and it's like a little flyby, and drops a little thought bomb, and you start to react. So this is ongoing education. For some of you, it may be boot camp. For some, it might be how to use that gun again. Let's see how this tank works. Give me some grenades. Let me get back into practice. Let's go ahead and look at the second fill in the blank. And it's really obvious. I've taken a part of the verse. Let's write this down. The weapons of our warfare have divine power to destroy strongholds. The weapons of our warfare have divine power. Divine power to destroy strongholds. In this passage, in Ephesians 6, he says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. What does he mean by that? Everybody say, evil day. I want to ask you a question. Is every day an evil day? Are there some days that come along? It's as if there's a scheme or a strategy or some type of a work of darkness, and you might wake up that morning and you feel agitated. You get out of bed and you just, something doesn't feel right. And you feel maybe in your heart, you don't feel like worshiping and praising him or opening your Bible, and you might miss that. But see, if you have these feelings, because the adversary comes to you in two ways, primarily. He comes to you in thoughts, and he comes to you in foreboding moods. He pushes feelings. He pushes a sense of weight. There's a Bible says a spirit of heaviness, a spirit of heaviness. We just feel... there's no reason for it, but you just feel more tired. Just feel more exhausted. You don't feel like it. And since you don't feel like it, and you know, we teach around here, there's two times to praise God. The first time is when you feel like it. The second time is when you don't feel like it. And when the foreboding mood comes upon you and you don't feel like it, that's the time to say, Lord, I just want to thank you right now. So I just feel off, but I'm going to praise you in the midst of this because it's the beginning of an evil day. He says, put on the armor and stand. Stand, therefore, stand firm in that evil day. There are some evil days that have happened to some of you recently. There have been some, say, drive-by shootings, so to speak, of the adversary. There's been some things that have been disheartening to you. This is the idea behind an evil day. Let's say you have been walking in victory for 3 months, for 6 months, for 9 months, for a year. What is the evil day designed to do? The evil day is designed to get you back to day one and knock all that year away or that 6 months away. That evil day is to get you, no, and come and slam against you and come against you in such a way as to cause you to turn to something and fall into a place where you begin to be devastated on the inside and maybe turn to something that begins to put you back in that place of, oh no, I've got to start all over again. Are you there? Are you there? And the Lord wants to take your hand as the great, not just the shepherd of the sheep, but the commander of shepherd of the sheep, but the commander of the Lord of the hosts, and take you, put his arm around you as a soldier. I say, come on, buddy, come on, budette. I'm going to give you my love, I'm going to give you my strength and my encouragement, I'm going to train you and give you my hope and pour my love again. Everybody just say this, his mercies are new every morning. Every morning. Every morning. When your identity is based on who Jesus says you are to him, an evil day can come and slam you, and you can slip and slide, but the next day you wake up and you have not lost ground. Amen. Because your identity is not based on your failures. Your identity is based on his victory in you. This his victory in us causes everything to be stable and secure. The devil will come along and he will say, let's say for instance, you're walking along and you've had a struggle recently and he slips in and he starts speaking, you know, you're just a sinner. The Bible teaches, Jesus actually taught this. He said, agree with your adversary on the way to court. Here's what you do. You know, you're right. I have failed. I agree with you. Apart from Christ, I can do nothing. But you know, devil, you're pointing at me, and guess where I'm pointing? I'm pointing at him, and he says that he's taken my sin upon himself and given me his righteousness, and I'm undeserving of that. And I don't have any self-righteousness in myself to come against you because it's not worth anything anyway. But I tell you what, I can withstand you because Jesus Christ has put his stamp of approval on my life. Because I have believed in all that he has said and all that he has done. And by the time you're sitting there talking like this, the devil's like, he's not around anymore because he doesn't want to hear that. He's like, shoot. They believe the truth. Everybody say, belt of truth. The very first thing that you put on is the belt of truth. Why? Listen to this. Psalm 51, verse 6 says, listen to this, guys. Behold, you delight in truth in the inward being, and you teach me wisdom in the secret heart. We're not talking about truth out here. We're talking about truth in here. Truth on the inside. Thy word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. The more you take time to just soak on the word. They have a thing in the, I was watching this when we were in Israel and inside of the Western Wall, or the Wailing, they call it the Wailing Wall, but Western Wall. If you go to the left, there's this place where all the men are. The Hasidic Jews have those long beards. They have their Bibles open. They're going like this. And they're rocking like this, and they're reading over the Bible. That's called davening, D-A-V-I-N-I-N-G, davening. And it means to take a scripture and repeat it over and over until it internalizes inside of you. It's a way to meditate and put the word in. And they're all doing this, and it's an act of worship. And they're putting the word in, putting the word, that rocking thing. You desire truth in the inward parts. You desire truth in the inward parts. You desire truth in the inward parts. And you teach me wisdom in the secret heart. You teach me wisdom. And truth goes in. It's not what you know up here. It's what you live in here. And over a period of time, when you walk with the Lord and you put the truth in, you begin to respond and allow him to work that, there begins to be the development of character and strength. Everybody say, the belt of truth. The belt of truth. And then there's this breastplate of righteousness. Everybody say that. The breastplate of righteousness. I was driving over here this morning and it hit me. Do you know what the breastplate of righteousness actually is? It's Jesus' report card put on your chest. That's what it is. Jesus' report card, he is perfect, and it's put on your chest. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. And of course, this is the shoes, having the readiness given by the gospel. How beautiful are on the mountains are the feet of him who bring good news. And then we talk about the shield of faith. And the shield of faith, it just declares in all circumstances, if you want to look at it, in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. This is a big, long, long, amazing thing. But there are probably a certain amount of people in here today that got hit by a dart from the enemy, and it's still there. And it's still there. And there's a vulnerability inside of your soul, inside of your heart, inside of you. And today, Jesus wants to take that out of you. He wants to remove that from you. It could be words that were spoken to you even as far back as your childhood. It could be some aspiration that you had, you desired to do something, and then the door closed and somehow some forcible thing injected into your belief that you will never accomplish that good thing that you set out to do. And somehow you feel you're held back and poisoned by a fiery dart. Jesus says, I have a shield for you. And it will. Now, the way that they always talk about this in those teachings is they put this oil, there's some kind of a something on the shield, and when and you're supposed to catch the dart. But see, here's the deal. Most of us haven't been very good at that. And we caught the dart, but we didn't catch it with the shield. We caught it right where hell meant it to go, right into your heart. And there can be a sense of vulnerability. It could be this. It could be that. Here's how you can find one. You want to find one? Here's how you find one. You think of all the people in your life, and when you come to that one person, if you have a person that suddenly your countenance begins to go down and you lose your sense of joy, that's a dart. The Lord wants to take that dart from you. If there's some history in your life and everything is fine until that point there, and you just never seem to, when you reconsider that part of your life, here's why. I got some good news for you. You may not know this, but Jesus is omnipresent. And I've said this 100 times, But this is one of the biggest revelations that the Lord has helped me. So I can look back over all of my life, every single bad thing that was meant for evil, every single thing, and I have no pain in my heart. Because Jesus has visited every place of my history and shown up in it. And because he's there, the pain is gone. The memory's there, but the hurt is gone. I can remember painful situations, but I have no pain. But it is when you do have pain, the Lord needs to help you take that dart out. Are you there? We're doing good. Would you just lift your heads to the Lord just even now? Would you begin to put a spirit of thanksgiving into your mouth and in your tongue right now? I don't think I'm supposed to move forward just yet. Would you go ahead and pray? If you have this, pray in the Spirit. Just pray in the Spirit gently. Just pray in the Spirit. Oh, Lord. Just if you don't have your prayer language, you go ahead and just give thanks. Just say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for removing darts, for removing puncture wounds, for healing the vulnerabilities of the soul. The word downcast comes to my mind right now. There's something that some of you may have experienced recently that's caused you to feel very downcast in your, just want to hang your head over. The Lord wants to lift your chin up. He's going to do a work in you even today and cause you to lift your head up. He's going to break that depression and that downcast from you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, come and just brood over the hearts right now as we're talking of this. Thank you, Jesus. An unmet expectation. You had an expectation for something, and it didn't turn out the way you had expected, and there was a sense of deferred hope, and that's a place right there where the Lord says, offer this to me again. Give me this terrain of your soul. Give me this area of where you missed out, and let me have lordship and dominion over this area of your heart. I want to create hope where hope was taken away. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to have more prayer at the end, but I just wanted to pause here because there's all kinds of things that affect the human heart. There's all kinds of griefs or woundings or... Now, see here. All right. I didn't know I was going to get into this, but here's the thing. The Lord just showed me a person who just poured out vile anger against somebody. And the Lord wants to heal you of what you did. He wants to take you and say, pour out that grief upon me. Because you might have been the person releasing the darts and doing the damage. We have an old saying, it says, hurting people hurt people. And maybe you are hurt, and the Lord wants to heal that area of your heart where when that's touched, you want to just pour out angry words that are damaging. Jesus, come. Come. See, when I say a picture like that, I know it's a prophetic thing. And when I speak about it, the Lord begins to minister. It's like a word of knowledge. The Lord wants to comfort you right now. You know, you can feel sad and feel like tears are going to rise up in your heart because you were mad at yourself for having done it or it's being exposed. You know, the thing you don't want to do is strengthen your own anger and become an angry person all the time. That's where that's headed. But Jesus wants to cleanse you of that, heal you of that moment, cause you to have the grief of that hurt washed away. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I guess we're going to move to the... I have pages I'm not going to do. Aren't you glad? Yes. And we can jump back. Let me say this. Let me go ahead. I got one more fill in the blank. We'll get there in a minute. Let me say this. When the devil came to Jesus in the wilderness, and he said, turn these stones into bread, because Jesus was hungry and he'd been fasting for 40 days. And he responds out of a belief system that he's put within him. And his belief system is the operating system of the eternal word of God. And Satan speaks And what comes up out of Jesus is, it is written, thou shalt not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. That you're in my time in the Word of God creates a system of belief that when hell comes up, you have been so in the authentic of the Word of God that when a false thought, when a fraudulent thought comes, the work of the Spirit in you rises up and you speak the countering word that the Holy Spirit, that you've stored up inside. And the Holy Spirit reaches on the shelf and said, you memorized this 14 years ago, and brings it out. Let's go ahead and look at the last fill in the blank. Everybody write this down. We conquer through the blood of Jesus Christ. We conquer through the blood of Jesus. This is based on the other verse, the third verse on the back of your page. It says, Revelation 12:11, and they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives even unto death. By the way, you know why they didn't love their lives even unto death? Because the moment a believer in Jesus dies physically, we're born unto eternal life in the presence of Jesus. It's just graduation day. Now, when I was in that car going from North Carolina into Tennessee, and that powerful attack of perverted thoughts forcefully came upon my mind, I begin to say, I plead the blood of Jesus. I plead the blood of Jesus. And when I talked to that mature believer, they said, what did you pray? And I said, well, I just pled the blood of Jesus. Is that all you did? I said, yes. Let me help you, and let me give you a way to apply the blood of Jesus. And so I wrote it down in your notes. It's right under that third point. Father, in Jesus' name, everybody look up here right quick. Where does your power of forgiveness come from? The blood of Jesus. Okay. Forgive me for whatever is in me that accommodates or cooperates with this harassing thought. Okay, look up again. That is called repentance. Repentance is, I don't want this. I don't want to live this way. I want to go this way. Forgive me for whatever's in me. I repent for whatever's in me. Chin up. Whatever's in me, I don't want this. Okay? The blood, you're applying the blood. This is the power of the blood. I repent for whatever is in me. See, the devil is so legalistic that if you even have the slightest desire for that sin, he's just going to keep pushing. So you got to come with a legality and you say, whatever's in me that accommodates this or cooperates with it, I repent of it. Let me tell you this. That wasn't the last time those thoughts came against my mind. I made this the pattern of my ability. My victory came out of applying the blood through this prayer. It became one of my weapons of warfare. Forgive me for whatever's in me that would accommodate or cooperate with this harassing thought. What's the next part? Now may the cleansing power of your blood flood this place in my mind and heart. And then you just praise him. Is this helpful?
Yes.
Have you had some stuff happen lately? Hey, we're in the summer and there's all kinds of crazy things going on. Let's go ahead and stand together. I don't want you to be ignorant of Satan's devices. I want you to know that the Holy Spirit is here to help you. And if you want, if there's been something of a harassing work against your mind, this is what I feel, really. This is just the simplicity of it. First of all, I want you to know Jesus loves you so much. This is not about you legalistically learning some kind of a prayer. This is about you tapping in through not even really a formula, it's just a prayer pattern, tapping into the resources that Jesus has given. Just go ahead and lift your heads with me. Spirit of the living God, come and pour forth the oil of joy for every place of mourning. Pour forth the forgiving power of your blood upon every place that's been in the mind, that's been tormented, or been in the heart, that's been grieved. Come, Holy Spirit, manifest your love to every person, no matter what level of brokenness, no matter what level of assault. There are some of you that the very idea that the devil has come after you is getting you liberty right now, because now you know how to apply what Jesus has done for you. Let's go ahead and praise the Lord again. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. You're going to walk in victory today because you know how to. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. You might want to do what I did and learn that prayer and learn it well. Hallelujah. We're going to dismiss right now, but we're going to invite every single person that wants further prayer ministry just to come on forward. In Jesus' name, blessings. Love you.